Overreaction Monday. Rich Eisen, Chris Brockman.
Hey, buddy.
With the 2025 NFL regular season in the books. Good to see you over there, Christopher.
It's great to see you. We made it far, man.
Not to turn this show into a therapy session.
Okay.
But how's that for a start?
I
might be overreacting, but I don't think I start this Overreaction Monday with an overreaction.
Okay.
You've got a piece of paper every
day.
We do this with all the subject matters. I have no idea what's on it. You actually turn it over.
I turn it over. So I don't want you to see it.
I see the blank side.
We're walking around.
And
in
front of me, I have a bunch of notes, but I also have this color-coded chart that the NFL Network gives me every single year. This is the schedule.
Yep.
This is the National Football League schedule, and it's color-coded for Thursday night games, Sunday night games, blah, 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 blah. This is the first time I'm doing this with this schedule being over. Look at it, and I'm like, I kind of miss it already. You know what I mean? Like, it's only standalone games left.
Yep.
6 games, then 4 games, then 2 games, then 1 game.
That's right. There's only 13 NFL games left.
I don't even want to know the number.
13.
You know what I mean? I don't know if I'm overreacting, but I'm like excited for the playoffs, but I'm bummed that the weekly cadence of a regular season is over.
It goes fast.
That there's 14 teams left. We're wondering, do they have a shot? And then we're wondering about the rest of the league. See, I don't even want to know that math either. I know it's 18 teams. We're already on the clock. We're wondering what's up with them.
Yeah.
Coaches being fired.
Raiders on the clock.
Oh,
right
my
Raiders
gosh.
Raiders on the clock.
At any rate, see, I feel better.
Okay, good.
Thank you for that.
Okay, good. No problem.
Hit it.
That was terrible.
That was crap. That was garbage.
This place sucks.
Overreaction.
Mondays.
Monday.
All right, regular season done, playoffs ahead. What do you have for me here?
We got to start with Sunday Night Football, man.
Unbelievable.
I mean, geez, just week after week, it seemed like we were talking about this is the greatest game of the year. This is the best game of the year. Last night was sure something in Pittsburgh. And did you notice the clip of the pregame priest blessing the field and the end zone with some holy water?
Right, and that's the end zone into which Tyler Loop missed his game-winning field goal.
Yeah, that's unbelievable.
Yeah.
The Steelers are blessed, Rich. They're going to the AFC title game, and Rodgers is going to be back in 2026.
I would like nothing more for my Steelers friends and their passionate fan base that show up absolutely everywhere with their terrible towels. I would love nothing more than to see an Aaron Rodgers run for the ages.
Vintage 12, everyone was saying last night.
And I think, you know, the 2026 stuff is 100% in the ether. I mean, that looked like a guy who not only had it, you know, in the gut, in the belly, in the heart, neck up. He also, one throw that he made down the seam, I believe that was to Thielen.
Thielen or Freiermuth?
I think it was the one to Thielen. Freiermuth was the one over the middle that he's done over and over again over the last 2 weeks to try and save the Steelers' bacon. Didn't work in Cleveland. Definitely wound up being the result that the Steelers wanted last night. But there was one throw to Thielen where he just put it in a spot where only, I think it was Thielen, right over the outstretched fingertips of, I believe it was Marlon Humphrey. And, you know, it left Collinsworth doing his trademark cackle. You can only sit there but laugh.
Yeah.
And so he's still got it. 2026 is in the ether, but they're going back to the AFC title game. Let's not forget who they're welcoming into their house on the Monday Night Football finale of Wild Card Weekend. I understand that the Texans did not dispatch with the Colts with ease and Riley Leonard on Sunday.
Gave up 30 points.
I understand what they did. Week 18 is just a weird,
it's weird
nether region of football for teams that have already clinched, and coaches would love to win a division. We would love to improve our seeds, but they also understand that the battle to come is more important than the battle at hand. And sometimes it's tough to swallow, like Philadelphia Eagle fans today are like, what are we doing? We had a shot at welcoming the Packers into our house. We have their number. We could have done that again and run that back. Instead, we've got to get the 49ers coming in. And it was right there for the taking. All Sirianni had to do is play just a few starters more. There wasn't even a shot of what looked like Reed Blankenship asking into the game and being told by a coach, this is just not happening today. We're just not playing many of our starters, if not most of them. And it's tough to swallow. But the Texans are coming into their house. And if I had to choose now, and I understand that the Steelers fans should feel blessed. Great setup with the holy water.
Thank you.
But I would choose the Texans as a more viable AFC championship game team than maybe the Steelers. Well, they just need to make more plays on defense
like
they did last night.
Get that extra day of rest. DK Metcalf
is
back.
Right, DK Metcalf is back. We will see. We will see. I would love nothing more than to be wrong. You know how I root for Tomlin to the point where Western Pennsylvania people think that I'm an adopted son of the Tomlin family. You know,
were you pounding your chest and kissing the camera?
You know,
last night?
You know, I love him and I love his moxie. I love his attitude. I love his passion. I love his id. I love all of it. Every last thing. And I would love nothing more than for the Steelers to go on this run. And every single Steeler fan that has been up my, you know what, about my opinions of Tomlin would have to admit they were rightfully angry
at times this year.
But this is an overreaction for the moment, and a rightful one. I understand that the Steelers fans should feel excited.
They should.
They should feel blessed. But the Texans are coming to town with their own anointing oil, and that defense is no joke. It's going to be a rough, long night on Monday night that the Steelers could survive. But I don't think this is anything but an overreaction. What else you got? Okay.
Weird game. Let's go to the other side. Weird game out of the Ravens, just kind of sleepwalking. Lamar didn't look great at all and kind of until those throws in the fourth quarter.
Right.
That amazing play to escape the sack and hit Zay Flowers. Again, though, Derrick Henry didn't really touch the ball there late in the game. Either Lamar Jackson or John Harbaugh won't be back next year for Baltimore.
No. I think John Harbaugh is going to be back, and I think Lamar will be back. And I just think that if I had to peg it right now, and Lamar's post-game comments when he was asked after the game if he's going to be the Ravens quarterback next year, if he envisions anything other than him being a Ravens quarterback next year, and his answer was, I just lost a tough game. I'm not thinking about that right now, where the answer is going to would be, what do you – of course I'm going to be the Ravens quarterback.
Was it a yes?
Right. So it wasn't an immediate dispatching of the concept.
Sure.
It was a, don't ask me now. I mean, I'm in an emotional state, which, again, is understandable. That's only going to fan the flames of he's gone or he doesn't want to stay or something's up underneath the surface. And all I'm going to say to you is that may resonate for a while. There may be some smoke where we feel there's a bigger fire underneath and that we can't see. But at the end of the day, this will get done. And it might mimic somewhat of the beats that we saw the last time there was a contractual dispute. Might be too strong of a word between the sides. But let's not forget, that got as bad as him demanding a trade on social media, hitting send on the post the very second John Harbaugh was sitting down for a media session at the owners meeting that very March.
Could have been
putting Harbaugh in a very difficult position. And even at that moment, he didn't let a single thing, if it wasn't the way that he felt, loose, that he loves Lamar. He loves Lamar more than any other human being on the planet, that maybe not a member of his own family. And at the end of the day, a disappointing season for a Ravens team that we thought had one of the best rosters going into the campaign.
I took him to go to the Super Bowl.
But at the end of the day, they had it all lined up, and their rookie kicker missed a kick. And I understand that there's a lot of mistakes and missed opportunities that lead up to that moment. But at the end of the day, the Ravens were set up to win, and it was just an unfortunate moment for them.
Yeah.
And
12 seconds left. Can we get Derrick Henry a carry to maybe get him a little bit closer?
That has nothing to do with closeness or not. It has to do with weird stuff happens on that turf. Weird stuff happens when you're kicking in that building.
Yeah, yeah.
With all due respect to the priest beforehand, the turf is just...
It's awful. It's the worst in
football.
Well,
I mean, the reason why the Steelers took their lead at the end of the game was because of a slipped defender, leaving a wide open receiver.
Yeah.
These things happen. And that's why, you know, when you're a rookie kicker kicking in crucial situations in that building, you know, you go with somebody like Boswell instead. Even he missed an extra point. So at the end of the day,
I couldn't believe Boswell missed.
At the end of the day, you have to sit here and say, the way that we're doing things, is it something that needs to be fundamentally changed at this point in time? I don't believe Steve Bisciotti at the end of the day is going to make that decision. Mm-hmm. Well, he'll make a decision. I don't think he's going to make the decision to make a radical change. And Lamar will be back for the Ravens, and they will be a team that we look at as a Super Bowl contender again. And hopefully circumstances just roll, the bounces roll their way a heck of a lot better.
Do you think it would benefit one of these guys to move on?
No.
Okay.
I don't. You think Miami's a better situation? Atlanta's a better situation? Let's see who Atlanta hires.
I think New York might be a better situation.
What, New York for the Jets?
Giants.
The Giants for John Harbaugh, you're talking.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought I was just talking Lamar.
Oh.
No, I don't know, man. John Harbaugh is definitely, for some fans, they've got Harbaugh fatigue, maybe, but I don't think Bisciotti's one of those fans.
Okay. Let's go to Saturday night. Huge game. 49ers Seahawks for the one seed.
Yes.
For the division. Kind of a letdown of a game, 13-3. Not going to
lie.
You
like points. You like
points. Expected a little bit more, more fireworks there. NFC West kind of limping into the playoffs a little bit, Rich Eisen. They're going to win less combined games than how many teams they have in the playoffs.
What a total overreaction.
Well, remember last year I said the North wasn't going to win any games, and I was right. 0-3. So
I got it.
I'm going back to the well. I'm calling my shot.
I couldn't disagree more. I think the best teams in football reside in that division.
Well, they beat each other up all year, and now they're kind of banged up going to the playoffs.
Oh, they're battle-tested. I mean, listen, you knew one team atop the NFC West would go into the postseason with a loss, and it turned out to be the Niners. I thought it would be the Seahawks. I couldn't be more impressed. And I was waiting for a pumpkin from their quarterback.
Oh, we're going to get to him.
I bet you we can, so I'll save my comments on that. And the defensive side of the football for the Seahawks, as championship quality as you can get. As championship quality as you can get. And all you got to do is get a running game and a defense and a quarterback that doesn't turn it over, and that's a Super Bowl winning combination, obviously. And so you knew one of the teams would be scuffed up going in, and it turned out to be the 49ers. And it looked like the Rams they needed that fourth quarter against the Arizona Cardinals, but that's why football games are four quarters. And Matthew Stafford goes into the postseason with a four-touchdown game. And Devontae Adams is coming back.
Yep.
And all of their missing players are expected to be back from Quentin Lake to their offensive line for the first-round game in Carolina. And I'm sure listen, we always talk about, do you want to go into the postseason on a roll where you haven't lost in a month or two, or is a loss a good thing?
Right.
And the loss to the Seahawks, not a good thing because it cost them the one seed.
Sure.
Loss to the Panthers right now. I mean, what more do you need to say to your team other than the fact of, hey we got to take this team seriously because we just lost to them there. Right. We know how good they are. We lost to them. They came up with the bigger moments than we did in their building. And the weather could be worse than it was the last time we were there. It's all set up for the Rams to go into Carolina, have a day, and, you know, and the Niners could absolutely go into Philadelphia and have a day. And Seattle sits back and gets healthier and welcomes in maybe even one of these teams into they're building for the divisional playoffs. We could see a divisional rematch in the divisional round. Actually, whenever they call the second round of the playoffs, the divisional round.
Why is it called the divisional round?
Great question. Maybe back in the day, there were divisional
I've
matchups.
I always wondered that.
But I think the divisional round in the NFC will feature a divisional game.
Okay.
And the NFC West is absolutely going to win more combined games than teams in the playoffs, which is three. I wouldn't be surprised if we see a divisional matchup in the divisional round and then in the NFC championship game.
Oh, interesting. Calling your shot.
I'm not calling a shot. I'm just saying this is an overreaction.
Got it. You know, every year there's the whole controversy. Should we play guys in week 18? Should we rest going into the playoffs? A lot of teams, fan bases having that question today.
Yes, sir.
Multiple teams that rested starters this week will regret it and lose in the wild card round.
I can't push back on this. It happens all the time. So you're counting the Eagles as one.
Eagles, Bills, Chargers.
Well, the Bills, listen, man. You can't blame
you don't get credit
Bills.
For Josh Allen for starting the game. Like, you rested starters.
Well, you also needed to give Josh Allen a little wave to the fans in the last game at Highmark, which is unless the seventh seeded Chargers go on a run for the ages, which I know you don't even want to think about.
I would not like to entertain that.
Since they're going to your Patriots on Sunday night of wild card weekend. The Bills have played their last game in their home stadium. Listen, this is about Josh Allen's foot and James Cook not getting nicked up. He got two carries and that was the end of it. They should have. Yeah, what are you going to give the Jets a shot at one of your crucial players going into now Jacksonville, which is a very difficult wild card visit for the Buffalo Bills. So I don't think the Bills made a mistake.
Packers rested, guys.
Well, the Packers had to. What are they going to do? Jordan Love, you're going to put him out? They actually rolled the dice. They dressed him. He was the backup if Clayton Tune got hurt.
Yeah.
If he got, if you will, tuned up.
Like, you know.
So they really rolled the dice on that one. And Josh Jacobs, he was the king of, like, is he going to play or not? He's in a walking boot 1 minute.
Crutches on
Monday. But he's starting, but then he disappears in the second quarter.
Yeah.
And then you have no idea where's Josh Jacobs. I mean, I'm speaking on behalf of, you know, the multitudes who had him in fantasy down the stretch of your needing to make the playoffs or playoff games in fantasy. They had to rest him.
I know, this contradicts what I said previously, but like, what were the Eagles doing?
Making sure that nobody was banged up. And listen, I will just say this.
They didn't want to be the two seed?
I will say this is a proper reaction. I think at the end of the day, NFL head coaches are just the kings of, we just got to play him when we play him anyway, or we're going to have to play him at some point anyway.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter if it's a home run or road. We're going to get it done. We've got the game plan. We got the coaching staff. We got the roster. We got the guts in the case of Sirianni. We have the experience. You know, are you going to run the risk of Hurts getting rolled up on or Saquon getting rolled up on? You're going to run that risk just for the fact of, well, we don't want to play the Niners. We'd much rather play the Packers. Fans have the luxury of thinking that way. NFL head coaches are like, you know, we'll give it a try. You know, we'll see how it goes. But at the end of the day, you know, it doesn't matter if we're home or on the road or we're the two seed or we're the three seed. I'm not going to sit here and think, well, we could be the two seed and get two home games, which gives a better shot of actually even having the first seed knocked off. And we could have home field advantage throughout. They don't sit there and think that way. Their job is to get everything ready for the playoffs. And at the end of the day, slings and arrows may come their way as long as they feel comfortable from ownership. Yeah. That said,
Drake May played, Trevor Lawrence played, Matt Stafford played, Caleb Williams played.
I know, and I'd rather have that. But this is not an overreaction at the same time.
All right, let's do it. Oh, let's do it, Rich Eisen. My favorite topic heading into this time of year, pressure.
Oh, boy.
Who's under the most pressure?
You know it makes diamonds, right? You're aware of
that. That's what I've heard. Okay. That's what I've heard. Great Queen song. Sam Darnold, Rich Eisen, he's the quarterback under the most pressure heading into the postseason.
No. The quarterback under the most pressure is the quarterback who is potentially playing for his job.
We're in the postseason
or
now.
Or playing for the last time. May not have another opportunity.
Do you think it's Aaron Rodgers?
100%.
Really?
I don't think he'll feel it, but I'm talking about what is pressure. And you take pressure to mean you don't
atoning,
want us talking about
for
them.
Past failures.
You take
Sam Darnold became one of the first quarterbacks ever to lose two playoff games in a year last year. He's once again the one seed. Once again, a dynamic season. Is this guy for real or not? Seahawks fans, I know, are terrified of the idea of Sam Darnold having to lead a fourth quarter comeback in a meaningful game.
You see the number on his uniform, 14? That's the number of games he's won in back-to-back seasons for two different teams. Nobody's ever done that.
Yeah, how many playoff games has Sam Darnold?
And I understand that, Chris, but at the end of the day, you always view pressure as players don't want us talking about them negatively.
Narratives.
So that's the pressure. That's the narrative.
You're a narrative guy.
Yeah, I'm a narrative guy, and I'm a legacy guy, but I also understand the reality of the way these guys think. And, you know, pressure means what? Like, he's got to win a playoff game, and if not, what's going to happen? I mean, he'll just, you know, honestly, go home to his beautiful house and his beautiful life, and he'll figure out how to do it again next year. Of course these guys want to win. They want to win desperately. They do want the rings and the accolades and the legacy and all that sort of stuff. I'm talking about who might not make it again. Who's going to be in a situation that he might not make it again, or his career is towards the end of the road. That's what I'm saying. That's the quarterbacks under the most pressure. You know, does Josh Allen finally want to win one? Absolutely. Does he look around and go, where's Burrow? Oh, he's not in here. Oh, where's
Josh Allen is number two on the list.
Where's Lamar? He's not in here. So he's got his best opportunity in terms of quarterbacks who do it for the first time in the playoffs usually lose. Second time, third time, a little bit better of a chance. Bo Nix done it before. He was one and done. Trevor Lawrence went 1-1 in his first playoff year. I mean, you know, Drake May's never done it before. Good luck to him against the Chargers. Herbert still looking for his first. I'm just saying Rodgers, if he feels it, he might look around and go, this is my last shot at it. He might have been sitting there thinking that as Tyler Loop was lining up for the game winner last night, that this is my final moment of the NFL and I'm watching a kicker beat me. So I'll call what you say an overreaction.
All right, Rich Eisen. Agree to disagree. It didn't take more than a couple of minutes after the final whistle blew in Atlanta for Saints Falcons for them to fire Raheem Morris.
Yes.
He's out. And you think back to what went on a couple of hiring cycles ago.
Belichick?
The Falcons really messed up not hiring Bill Belichick 2 years ago.
I don't know about that.
You don't think they would have been a playoff team at least once in the last 2 years if they had Bill?
Dude, I'll ask you. I'm going to flip the script on you. You're the Patriot fan who was just like, I don't trust Mr. In Bill we trust. And then the last couple of years, you fell out of trust with him.
For sure. And it's the same thing I've been talking about with Baltimore and Pittsburgh. It's what happened to Andy Reid in Philadelphia. Sometimes it's just time for a change. Sometimes you just need a new situation and a new scenario. And clearly Bill needed that. And I think he could have got it in Atlanta and really had some success. And they chose to go in a different direction.
Right.
And now they're looking for a new head coach again.
And now they're changing their entire organizational structure. Rich McKay, who's been the team president of football forever and a day, is out. They're expecting to put Matt Ryan in there.
Mm-hmm.
And they've completely reorganized everything. But that's the way Arthur Blank wants it with the people he trusts. And, you know, Bill, he's got to come in and take over the entire thing. Well, now, he might have said something differently to Arthur Blank, like, I'm willing to work with this guy, and this guy. But that guy, and that guy who Blank trusts might have flipped around and say, we don't want that guy.
Well, that's kind of been the report.
So I don't know. Nobody knows for sure. All you could just know is trust this guy knows more football in the cuticle of one of his fingers than we do in our entire bodies collectively in this entire studio right now. You got to give that up,
facts.
Right? I'm just going to basically say, I don't understand why Morris had to go. How about that? I mean, 2-and-done. And you're seeing at the end of the year, the team played extremely well.
Played hard.
They played hard. Kyle Pitts finally turned into the guy that we've been waiting for him to turn into.
Bijan Robinson led the league in total yards this year.
Exactly. I mean, he was unstoppable.
Yeah.
And this team was the team you just didn't want to face at the end of the year. And Kirk Cousins, at the end of the day, turned into the guy that they thought he would turn into the minute they hired him. And so things were beginning to gel, it looked like. And defensively, you finally went and drafted pass rushers.
Mm-hmm.
And those guys came to the fore. I mean, there's a couple of guys that were defensive rookie of the year candidates on Atlanta, from James Pierce to Xavier Watts. They've got an offensive line that's beginning to gel.
They spent all that first round capital on offense.
You could easily have looked at this team and go, okay, this is a team that gained some momentum at the end of the year and is now ready to go on. And all they had to do was just beat the Jets and they would have won the division. And I understand that's why you fire a coach, because they couldn't beat the Jets.
Sure.
I'll just say that part about Raheem Morris. That was just, but it's clear that Arthur Blank just wanted to change the entire structure from soup to nuts. And you don't do all of that and keep your general manager and your head coach. You put in a new entire guts of your operation, including the Arthur Blank, sports and entertainment group. Like, that's where he moved Rich McKay into. So
They're big invested in the PGA Tour.
He changed the entirety of his world operation. And I understand if you're going to do that, then you want to give that team the opportunity to find your new general manager and head coach. So at the end of the day, hiring Bill Belichick doesn't seem to fit into that sort of thing, unless his new structure looks at it and say, it's yours to turn around, Bill. But, you know, so it is quite something in a world where Raheem Morris gets 2 years, Stefanski gets six, and Pete Carroll gets one, as the Raiders have fired him today on the taping of this Overreaction Monday. So the carousel's off and spinning.
Who's your number one job right now? Did Atlanta overtake the Giants?
Oh,
have you thought about that?
I really haven't. Other than the fact that obviously I'm a native New Yorker, so clearly I'm biased when it comes to Giants football.
Just the pieces too.
Oh gosh, yeah. Jackson Dart's right there. The ownership group is
the defense
not going anywhere, and they you know, try and give their people some time. And the defense is ready to roll. So I would go Giants at this point in time, for sure. But that offense on Atlanta, I mean, Atlanta's got the bones to, and a division where you can win it at 8-9.
All you need is 8 or 9 wins.
And a three-way tie.
Jeez.
At that. So
talk about a what-if season.
But I'll call that an overreaction.
Okay. All right, two more, and we'll finish up and head into our good Monday. I'm looking at what Indiana football has turned into. Rich Eisen, and now there's all these coaching openings in the NFL. Some team needs to throw the bag at Kurt Cignetti, to be the head coach.
No
what
doubt.
Are we waiting for?
I'm going to jump into it here and get into it in detail on the flagship show. The Raiders should be the team to do it. Call them up. We see what you're doing with Mendoza, Heise Mendoza.
we see what
you're doing. We hold the first overall pick. We can draft him.
It's too easy.
You can come with a package deal with your quarterback if that's what you want, and go for it. I mean, the Raiders should be the first ones on the phone and basically say, guess what? We're just talking to you. We're talking to your agent. We're not telling anybody. You can trust us. Circle of trust here. And last thing we want for you is to go through your college football playoff campaign, hearing about these rumors and having to address them. So trust us, but we're going to go through our due diligence with others, and best of luck to you. And we'll speak to you on January 20th after you win the national championship.
Yeah, exactly.
And if I were the Giants, I'd do the same thing. Guess what? You want to talk about a guy who would be perfect for the Giants fan base, a guy who is a culture guy, a guy who also is got a head coaching pedigree from Saban, as well as the offensive side of the ball. We spoke to Phillip Rivers on our Friday show last week. Cignetti was his quarterbacks coach in NC State, is a program builder, and it has the demeanor on the sidelines that would 1,000,000% speak to the Giants fans dying for the hard-ass Parcells days to come back. He would be perfect for the New York market. Google me. You know what I mean?
Who plays him in the movie?
He would be awesome.
Yeah.
I just don't know what his level of interest is at all. This is not an overreaction whatsoever. Spot on. Hit the target. Bullseye.
Love it. All right, last one. We can agree, right? This has been the most insane NFL season we've ever seen.
Well, I mean, it's wide open. You could make the case that any of the 14 teams could go on a run for the ages and win it. And that is that's a fact. I know everybody's like, 8-9, Carolina, get out of here.
But they've also beaten the Rams and Packers this year.
I mean, keep going.
Yeah, they can do it.
Right.
After being the most crazy season ever, the Super Bowl is not going to include either one or two seed.
I don't think that that's an overreaction at all. I like it. I like it. Let me give you this scenario. Let me give you this scenario. The Buffalo Bills catch fire.
Sure.
Okay. The San Francisco 49ers catch fire.
Yeah, why not?
Okay. The Los Angeles Rams catch fire.
Yeah.
Okay. The Houston Texans catch fire.
They're already on fire.
Okay, right. Those would be if they win, okay? If they win, let me give you another one. Packers catch fire.
Sure.
Okay. Hear me out.
I picked them to win the Super Bowl. Hear me out. Before the season.
Hear me out. Chargers catch fire.
Yeah.
Okay.
They got a lightning bolt on their helmet.
Let's just say these teams catch fire, all they got to do is come up with the win on wild card weekend, and the Rams would host the 49ers in a divisional playoff game, and the Texans would host the Bills in a divisional playoff game. As the Chargers go to visit the one seed Broncos, and the Packers go visit the one seed Seahawks. That is entirely possible. I thought the way to go, if you want to really up it, is every non-division winner wins
this weekend. Oh, all upsets.
Would they really be upsets? I thought I saw
Buffalo is favored.
Right?
Buffalo's favored this week.
What about the Packers? Didn't I see them installed? Potentially?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
okay.
I thought you would go one more.
Well,
this is 100% possible.
Well, in the last decade, this happens. The one or two seed make the Super Bowl.
I understand that.
So I'm saying I got a 10-year track
record. I like it. I'll just raise you.
You wanted to go
more.
Even higher.
Would you go, that's an overreaction?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Every non-division winner, Rams going to Carolina.
That's better. I kind of
Packers going to the Bears. Okay. Bills going to the Jaguars. Okay. Niners going to Philadelphia. Chargers going to New England. You don't like that one, I understand.
I don't.
And Texans going to Pittsburgh. Every road team wins. Wild card weekend.
Ooh. I actually...
Overreaction.
That's an overreaction.
How about more road teams win than home teams win?
Still an overreaction.
4-2. Road teams go 4-2 on wild card
weekend. Ooh. So who are the two that win?
Your Patriots could be one.
And the Eagles probably.
I don't know.
Don't love the Niners going into the playoffs.
Got it.
Now.
Got it. I don't know why you don't.
One week kind of changed everything.
I get it. The Seahawks defense might be that good.
Yeah, I think the Seahawks defense can win the Super Bowl
at the end of the day, and so could the Texans.
Yeah,
you know, and so could the Texans.
Seahawks Texans Super Bowl final score 6-3.
Right. Do you know it is crazy.
It's crazy. The season's been absolute bonkers, man.
And a tight MVP race, a tight offensive player of the year race.
All of the awards.
Tight
are
coach
close.
Of the year race,
yeah.
Except the defensive player of the year.
Right.
That one.
By the way, I got some thoughts on that for later.
Okay. I thought you'd overreact to that right here.
Well, Burrow took a dive. It's fine.
Oh, my gosh. Took a cookie, huh? I don't know.
He watched Brett Favre and said, yeah, hold my beer.
I don't think Burrow's that guy. How does that sound? I don't think Burrow's that guy.
I don't think that should count as a sack if the guy falls down and you just touch him.
Gosh.
Why do you get credit for the sack?
Or wait for it. Congratulations, Miles.
Congratulations, Garrett. Miles. Hope the $40 million was worth it.
Well, he's going to get a new coach.
Was that the plan that he was told?
I don't believe it
nine
was.
9 months ago?
I don't believe it was. Good stuff. Thank you, sir.
Love it.
For Chris, I am Rich Eisen. Overreaction Monday on a Tuesday, on our Tuesday show. Mark Schlereth will join us Tuesday to break all that down. Bill Cowher will join us as well. In studio guest this week, Sean William Scott, Dennis Leary, Ashton Kutcher.
Hey!
As the Bears play the Packers. That's all on the Rich Eisen Show this week. For Chris, I'm Rich. Peace out. Overreaction Monday in the books.